We're in a series called The God of Uncomfortable Places. The God of Uncomfortable Places. How many's been there? How many's there? How many's going to be there? We could all raise our hands. The God of Uncomfortable Places. He is a God who sometimes brings us to uncomfortable places. Now, we know that sometimes our decisions bring us to uncomfortable places. I've made bad decisions in my life, and I've had to kind of go through uncomfortable seasons because of the decisions that I've made. Yet the Lord is still with me in those places. But I'm talking about sometimes God allows uncomfortable places. When God gets ready to use a man, when God or a woman, and he gets ready to bring them into another level, because the Bible says that we go from glory to glory to glory. And as your relationship with God deepens, and as it grows, and as it becomes more intense, God takes his servants through different seasons and different places because he's refining you. He's trying to bring you to a place of maturity. He's trying to age you and help you in your character, and also his whole intention is that you would know him, the God of your life, the God of comfortable places, the God of uncomfortable places, that you would know him greater and deeper, and that you would have an intimate relationship with you. Because the more we know God, and the more time we spend with God, and he uses these seasons and these difficulties to bring us to those places so that we see a different part of God that we didn't see before. He wants you to know him. You were created to have intimacy with him. You were made to know your God. He didn't create you out of a need. He has no need. He created you because he wanted you. That's what we lost in the garden, was that intimacy with God. And that's what Christ restored to us, was that intimacy with God. And there is nothing this world can ever, ever give you that will take the place of that place with God. You were made to enjoy God and know him through Christ. He wants that. He loves you. He made a way for you to know him through his son, through every stripe, through every punch of Christ's face, through every ripping and tearing of his flesh. He was saying, I love you. And I want relationship with you. And I'm willing to do whatever it costs and whatever it takes to have a relationship with you. Even allow my own son's body to be marred in order that you can come to me through him. That is love. That is love that this world can give. That is love that no person can give you. Only the love of God that is in Christ. That's why to reject the Son is to reject eternal life, because it's rejecting God the Father through the Son. The God of uncomfortable places. God will often use difficult and uncomfortable situations to reveal several things to us about our heart and about our spiritual progress. You see, it's like taking a test in school. Until you go through the test, you don't know what you know. It's only when they mark those little X's on that test that you realize, oh, I didn't know that question, or I don't know that answer, or it's the revealing of the test that show you what you know and what you don't know and what you still have to learn. He uses different tests in our life, those show us where our progress is. He uses these places to test our willingness to want to go further with Him in the Spirit. Do we truly want to be conformed into His image? Are we serious about our relationship with Him to the place to where we are willing to press in and go through these uncomfortable places and even allow ourselves to be in uncomfortable places so that God can show us what's inside of us and what we are still needing to develop by pressing into Him? My family has a lot of people living in our house right now. It wasn't like that a few months ago, but I've got my daughter living with me and my niece living with me. And some of you know, when you get lots of people into a household, you've got lots of opinions. Lots of people with different thoughts. People that were raised different ways. People that still are in the process. There's lots of things going on in all of our lives. And because God made us so uniquely and so different, right? Uniquely and different, then we're supposed to learn from one another. And the Bible says that iron sharpens iron. And sometimes when it's going through that test of being around people so close, because that's when it's really seen. That's when relationships are really seen. What's inside of us is when they're so close, one-on-one, a few people all together, trying to blend together into oneness. That's where you see things in people's life. That's where you develop the character of the Holy Spirit. That's where you learn to either speak or not speak, right? Because you realize that the person is more valuable than you being right. Sometimes it's not what we say. Sometimes it's what we don't say. That's important. Because if we would hurt someone with our tongue, it would wound them. So it's an uncomfortable place, but it's a necessary place because I can't grow in my relationships and I can't learn to love those who see things differently than me unless I'm in that relationship and around those people. How can we grow? How can we learn? God will allow us to go through uncomfortable situations in order that we can sharpen the fruit of the Spirit inside of us and that we can draw from His Spirit in order to be able to be used to and help other people. Am I listening to the voice of the Holy Spirit? Am I obeying the voice of the Holy Spirit? If He tells me to be silent, can I be silent? God will often use difficult places to bring us into a sharpening of character and allowing more of His Spirit to be seen in us. Through a rare breed of men and women, those who are willing to walk with God. I'm not talking about casual, just going to church every now and then. I'm talking about those who realize, even today that's in this place, every single person here, God is calling you to an active, deeper relationship with Him. He wants you to know Him, and He wants to reveal and make Himself known to you. He wants to give you dreams and visions. He wants to talk to you more. He wants to guide your life. He's wanting to cut off things in your life that are killing you. And He wants to give you more of His Spirit so that you can be led by the Spirit and enjoy the promises of God and the intimacy with God that only comes through this process. Their hearts, as we spend time with Him, our hearts become one with Him. Our longings and our desires become that of what he is revealing to us. We want to do His will. We want to obey. We want to know Him greater and deeper. And we're willing to set things aside and we're willing to go through whatever's necessary in order that we can know Him greater and deeper. And there's nothing greater other than knowing God. There's nothing greater than doing the will of God. Because there's a joy in that that this world can't give you. Doing the will of God. So God allows us to go through difficult places. I believe we have a remnant of people that are crying out and that are longing to go further with Him. They want to know Him greater and deeper. And for those who are willing to press in and are willing to go through the test, right? Who are willing to go through the test and pass those tests. They will be the ones that go to another level with God and be able to impact more people for the glory of God and for eternity. There is a saying that goes like this: God will often offend the mind to reveal the heart. God will often offend the mind to reveal the heart. If you're listening and if you're paying attention, you'll know it. God will allow these difficult, yes, even painful and uncomfortable situations to come your way in order to develop His character in you. He will allow you to be tested by trial to reveal the deepness of your love for Him. He will prune, cut every tree that is producing fruit in order to cause it to bear more excellent fruit. He's a God of progress. He's a God of moving you along, showing you more of His ways, teaching you about Him, and making Himself known to you in ways that you've never known. He's more interested in your conformity to His will and His image and His likeness than He is in your comfort. In fact, He will often make you uncomfortable in order to bring you to another deepness, a deeper relationship with Him, a deeper level of your knowledge of God. He does this intentionally. This is on purpose, so that you can see a different reflection of His character and of His nature, so that you feel more personally and intimately connected to Him. I love Paul. I love what he said. It's the scripture of my life. For my determined purpose is that I might know Him, to perceive and recognize the wonder of His person more clearly. That's the cry of my heart. And anything else that He does through my life because of that, may He get the glory. In Matthew 10, we have a situation where John, the forerunner of Christ, the one who is in the likeness of Elijah, is now in a place, he's in a prison. He's in a difficult situation. He's in a trial. He's in a test. And in this difficult situation, in this uncomfortable place that God has permitted him to come, he questions his situation. Remember, God's always going to keep you a tippy toe in the natural and one in eternity. He is an eternal minded God. He sees things from a bigger picture than just what's happening right now. Let's go to chapter 11. In this chapter in Matthew chapter 11, Jesus is ministering. He just got finished charging the 12 disciples to go out and minister. And word comes back to him. John is in prison. It's a difficult place. John was a mighty man of God. His birth was prophesied. His arrival came by Gabriel, announcing to his father that he was coming, he was going to have a child, that his prayers were being answered, that Zechariah and Elizabeth were going to have a son, and this son was going to be the forerunner for Christ, the Messiah. John came. He was a strange, prophetic type. The Bible says right at the book of Malachi that he was send Elijah, and Jesus even calls him that and says, if you will, he is the type of Elijah who was to come and prepare the way before the Lord. His ministry was powerful. When the time came, he was in the wilderness. He wore a garment and he ate locusts and honey. He was a Nazarite. He was set aside for the purposes of telling people, I'm not the Messiah, but prepare ye the way of the Lord. The Messiah is coming. And his ministry was powerful. He was baptizing people. He was bringing them to the Lord. He was telling them to prepare for the Lord's coming. He was telling them to repent. He said, the axe is laid to the root. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. The Holy One is coming. The Messiah is coming. In today's standard, his church would have been packed. His ministry would have been spread to the north and the south and the east and the west. And he would have been, by all respects, successful. They would have looked at his church and looked at his ministry and said, whoa! That John the Baptist, he is bringing people to the Lord. This powerful man of God. But then all of a sudden, Jesus, the Messiah, shows up on the scene. And John says, behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. And his whole ministry took a shift. People that were with him began to follow Christ the Messiah. His numbers began to dwindle. From all outward appearances, it looked as if his ministry was failing. He comes to this place. Now they've imprisoned him. No one's impressed with John now. What an uncomfortable place. When they flock to you, but now there's none. When they thought you had the answers and that you were speaking the word of God, but now they've left. When there's no, yes, that's my pastor. And now he's in this difficult place. You've been there. When Jesus had finished his charge to his 12 disciples, he left there to teach and to preach in their Galilean cities. Now, when John in prison heard about the activities of Christ, he sent a message by his disciples and asked him, are you the one? Are you the one who was to come? Or should we keep on expecting a different one? John, the one who showed everybody that Jesus was the Lamb that would take away the sins of the world, is now in a dirty, nasty, stinking prison with dung all around him and the sewer running through it. No one to applaud him, no one to encourage him, and he's in this discouraging place by the appointment of God. Are you the one? My mind is dark in this place. I feel the threat of my life. I feel like my ministry is ending. I wonder, will he come? Will I get out of this dark? Will I get out of this dark place? It's so uncomfortable. Everything that would have fed your flesh and made you feel good, it's not there in that place. Are you the one? Are you the one who was to come, or should we keep on expecting a different one? It's as if he's saying, is my ministry finished? And Jesus replied to them, go and report to John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk. Lepers are cleansed by healing, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up, and the poor have good news, the gospel preached to them. And blessed and happy is the one who takes no offense at me and finds no cause for stumbling in or through me and is not hindered from seeing the truth. The test of offense. A place that God allowed John to come to. Why haven't you come and rescued me out of this place? You're God. Why did you leave me here? The God of uncomfortable places. He's right at that place where his ministry is winding down. Could the God of the universe come and gather him out of that place? Could he descend or even work through Jesus and his disciples to get John out of that prison? Could not the God who opened up the eyes of the blind and calls the lame to walk, could he not release him? In this uncomfortable place, John is questioning, is there another Messiah or is this the one? It's out of a place of great trouble. We can't look at John and say, oh, he lost his faith. He's hurting in this place. I've been there. I know what it's like to question God. I know what it's like to have the police officer knock on the door and say, your husband isn't coming home. He's gone. You brought me to this place. Where is your love? God, where is your compassion for me in this dark? You brought me here. It was your intention. Do I believe or not? Because that is the question. That is the question of the internal heart. When all of this is said and done, do I believe in God or not? Do I believe that he is the Messiah in this place? In this 2019, do I even believe that he is coming back like he said? It's uncomfortable down here. There are lots of things that are going on in this nation, and the world is shaking and trembling. And it's been a long time since he's been here. And the church, I'm not seeing the power of God like I want to. And I'm not hearing about people getting saved. In fact, I'm really seeing an undergrowth of persecution that is coming to this nation and to his people. Will we believe him when it's difficult? When it's hard? When it's uncomfortable, when not every prayer is answered, or it's not answered the way that we thought it should be? And can we still believe and trust in him in that dark place where our heart is questioning God, but there's a faith inside our spirit that says, you know he is the Son of God. You know he is the only way to eternal life. Blessed are those who are not offended at me, says the Lord. who can still walk through dark valleys with unanswered prayer, who can still see their prodigals out on the street not having returned yet and are not offended at me. Blessed are those who lack and can still see that I'm the provider. Blessed are those who can mourn and still see that I can bring joy. In these dark places, difficult places, questionable places, I look back at my own life, these places in my childhood where God could have done something. He could have stepped in. He could have saved me from that reproach, that sorrow, that grief. He could have spared me from the loss of my husband. He could have kept me from miscarriaging. He could have all of these things, these difficult places, these dark places. So dark, no one knows. You have them. You know of them. They're hidden. The God of uncomfortable places. Can you trust him there? Can you believe him there? Or are you offended? Blessed are those who take no offense in me. Because God sees things from an eternal perspective. And the Bible doesn't say that we overcome by happy situations and joyful situations and feeling good and our emotions are all up. He says we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony and because we love not our life unto the end. Blessed are those who take no offense in me and find no cause. I'm not going to blame you, God, for allowing me to be here. You're doing things that I can't see because my emotions are all wrought up. John's in that prison and his emotions are all there in that place. His ministry is winding down, but I want you to hear what he goes on to say about John. Then as these men went their way to tell John the answer that Jesus is giving, he began to speak to the crowds about John. What did you go out in the wilderness to see? A reed swayed by the wind? What did you go out to see then? A man clothed in soft garments? Behold, those who wear soft clothing are in the houses of kings. But what did you go out to see? A prophet? Oh, yes. I tell you, and one out of the common, more eminent, more remarkable, and superior prophets. This is the one of whom it was written, behold, I send my messenger ahead of you who shall make ready your way before you. Truly I tell you, among those born of women, there has not risen anyone greater than John the Baptist. Yet, he who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. That's you and I. And from the days of John the Baptist until the present time, the kingdom of heaven has suffered. It has endured violent assault. But violent men and women, I'm going to add, seize it by force as a precious prize. A share in the heavenly kingdom is sought. Notice what he's saying. A share in the heavenly kingdom is sought. It is sought. It is sought as a precious prize with ardent zeal and intense exertion. I go after it like that. I I can't always plan to be comfortable. I'm willing to lay down my life so that he can take it up and use it whatever way he pleases. It's not my choice, for it is no longer I that lives, but Christ that liveth in me. And the life that I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God. I was here for his purpose. I was created for his majesty. I have no determination in my heart whatsoever to do what I want to do. Not that I don't feel that, or have feelings, or have ambitions, or have goals, or have desires, or have wants, because there's plenty of things that I enjoy doing. But the kingdom of God has suffered violence. But the violent men and women of God, they take it by force, because they know that when everything is said and done and they take their last breath, it's the eternal things that are going to matter. They take it by force. I am going to stand before the King with all of my works. We often get offended with God because we can't see life from his perspective. We get blindsided with all the things that are happening around us and among us and affecting us on a personal level on a daily basis. It's coming at us from all kinds of sources. We get blindsided to the eternal purpose of it. But if we can stop for just a second and say, wait a minute, why am I here? What is God doing? What eternal value is this? And if I approach this the right way, I'll know God better and I'll do God's will. And I will see it from his point of view instead of my own, which is carnal. He is a God of relationships. He's a God of intimacy, fellowship. He will use the circumstance to reveal a deeper part of his character, his attributes. He's revealing himself to you in the circumstance that you're in. I want you to awaken, awaken. Let your eyes be opened at this very moment. Listen to what I'm saying to you. Look at your life right where you are. God is showing himself to you. God is speaking to you. God is revealing himself to you. Perceive it. Just don't look at the pain of it. See the eternity in it. God is making himself known to you through the circumstance. He wants you to know him. He wants you to be like him. Turn quickly to Hebrews 11 as we finish this up today. Hebrews 11 speaks of great men and women who knew their God intimately. They fulfilled the will of God on the earth. They did exploits. They did mighty miracles. They did signs and wonders through the power of God. Hebrews 11 just names a few of these. By faith, we understand that the world during the successive ages were framed in fashion and put into order by God. Prompted by faith, Abel brought God a better and more acceptable sacrifice than Cain. Prompted by faith, Enoch was caught up and transferred to heaven so that he did not have to have a glimpse of death. It goes on to talk about all these mighty men and women of God. By faith, Noah being forewarned by God concerning events to which as of yet there was no visible sign, took heed and diligently and reverently constructed and prepared an ark for the deliverance of his own family. By faith, Abraham, when he was called, obeyed and went forth to a place which he was destined to receive as an inheritance. Prompted by faith, he moved on to a city, a designated place that God had called him to. By faith, Sarah herself received physical power to conceive a child at her age. It was miraculous. It was supernatural. By faith, these mighty men and women did great and marvelous things, urged on by faith. The Red Sea was parted through the power of God by Moses. Rahab, the prostitute, was delivered and not destroyed in Jericho. For time would fail me to tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, the judges, and David and Samuel and the prophets. He goes on to list this hall of fame, hall of faith people that by the power of God did marvelous things. But then it goes down further. And it talks about in verse 35, he says, some women, again, received their dead by resurrection, but others were tortured to death with clubs, refusing to accept release offered on the terms of denying their faith so that they might be resurrected to a better life. Others had to suffer the trial of mockings and scourgings and even chains and imprisonments. They were stoned to death. They were lured with tempting offers to renounce their faith. They were sawn asunder. They were slaughtered by the sword. They had to go about wrapped in skins of sheep and goat, utterly destitute, oppressed, cruelly treated, men and women of whom the world was not worthy. Listen to that. Of whom the world was not worthy. But eternity awaits them. All of these won divine approval by means of their faith, even though they did not, listen to this, did not receive the fulfillment of their promise in their lifetime. I know people today, I myself have been divinely healed by God. I've seen the power of God. I've seen Him heal people. I've seen people saved. I've been supernaturally rescued. I felt the divine intervention of God in my car when I could have been hit. You too. I've seen the supernatural power of God. I've experienced miracles, signs, and wonders, and I've seen them on other people's lives. But then I know people today, even in this very place, and people in my own family and around me, they have not been healed yet. They've not had their loved ones saved yet. Their prodigals are still out on the streets on drugs. They haven't got a job. They haven't got a better job. They didn't get the pay raise. The loan fell through. They lost their house. Their dreams have died. Their prayers have not been answered. Blessed is he who takes no offense in me. Finds no cause for stumbling in and through me, says the Lord, and is not hindered by seeing the truth. And the truth is that God does things His way, and His way is right, whether we understand it or not, because He is an eternal God, and He sees things from eternal perspectives. Are you offended at your situation? Or can you find God in it? And not be offended, but know Him better. That's the goal of uncomfortable places. Let's stand to our feet this morning. Father, I come to you today because I know that each and every person in this building has been in an uncomfortable place. I know that those who are listening on Facebook, those who are listening on the radio, those who are hearing this message, each and every person that believes God, or maybe they're listening to this and they don't even know God, but their circumstances are causing them to look for God because the place where they're at is uncomfortable. For those who are in Christ, the purpose of uncomfortable places is that they would see things from your perspective. That they would respond out of eternity and out of the Spirit of God and out of a knowing of God. And understand you. And get a glimpse of you that they've never had before. And have a deepness of faith that is beyond this world and beyond the grave. Many are listening to me and they are sick. Yes, God is a healing God. And He will heal you. But will you continue to have faith and believe if it's delayed? Or will you be offended at God, the only one who can help you? If He doesn't answer that prayer, are you still in love with Him? Do you still love Him? That was the question I had to ask when I buried my first husband. Do I still love you? I am so offended at the way you've done this, God. If He doesn't heal the child, if He takes the child, can you still love God? Or will you be offended? Will you be repelled? Will you say, I can't serve a God like this, even though His whole intention is that you would know Him and see things from an eternal point of view? The God of uncomfortable places is not cruel. He is good. He is a God who through His Son and through the sacrifice of His own Son's body wants to bring you near to Him. He is a good lion, but He is not tame. Can you still love Him? Or will you be offended at His greatness and His thoughts and His ways that are higher than yours? I pray that today, if you are angry at God, that you'll just come to that place inside your heart to where you're saying, no matter what happens, I'm going to believe. I'm going to trust you, Jesus. I'm going to believe. I'm going to believe, God. I'm going to keep believing for my family. I'm going to have hope for those that are sick. I'm going to keep trusting that you're the healer. I'm going to continue to pray for my loved ones and pray for my nation. And I'm going to keep asking you to move, God. But if you don't move, if you don't answer my prayers the way I thought, I will not be offended at you. I will keep loving you. And what I don't understand on this side, I will understand on the other. Yes, Lord. I pray that we will continue to love our God. If you don't know Him today and you want to know this God, He is inviting you to come. He made the way through Jesus for you to be able to approach Him and to have relationship with Him. It is only through Christ that there is eternal life. There is no other way. He offers Himself for you today. If you accept His Son, which are His terms, you will know the living God and have eternal life. I pray that you will do that today. If there's anybody here in this place and you don't know the Lord and you want to know the Lord and you're in a difficult place, maybe you're in a difficult spot, we will pray for you. We will ask God to move in your life and we will seek him for you and join in with you. I pray that today you will continue to walk and live your life by faith in the Son of God until you see him face to face. In Jesus' name, amen.